is something that we're going to see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. 13, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And I'm going to talk about faith, hope, and love, because these are the three foundations that we need to stand on as Christians. And they're extremely important, so we ought to know about them. And let's start in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9, and we'll start there. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now the Lord says in that verse 13, it says there's three things that are going to remain in life. If you have them now, you're going to have them in eternity. If you have them now, you're going to be able to follow them throughout your life. They are faith, hope, and love. Interesting enough, we have a church next door called Faith Center. And so that means they got a part of it. They got part of faith, hope, and love. They got the faith part. And what we need to find out is very simply this. Everything belongs to God. Every single thing. And he tells us in the Bible basically what he's going to do with everything. He tells us that the air we breathe belongs to him. The air, ground we walk on belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And then he tells us what he's going to do with everything. He tells us in the Bible. Now, he also tells us that he's going to give us what we need to go through this life. To go through when we have tribulation, to go when we have joy and whatever. Because we're going to have these various things in this life. But he's given us three things that will take us through every single problem that we have to deal with in life. Those three things are faith, hope, and love. And we're going to talk about these one at a time. We're going to talk today about faith. These are, as I said, are eternal things. Jesus Christ is eternity. He is life. Jesus Christ will never change. Anything he says, he'll never take back. He's not going to be like the politicians running for president. When he says something, he means what he says. And so what he wants us to understand, and we know this anyway, that this life is temporary. And we know that when every time we go to a funeral, anything of that nature, we have to come to face with the fact that this life is temporary. Now, nobody likes to do that when they're living, but we need to, because we need to understand there are certain things that are eternal that'll never die. Number one is your spirit and soul. Your spirit and soul will never die. But also the Bible tells us the things that'll never die are faith, hope, and love. So if we have these now, we're going to have them in eternity. They will never change. We don't have to worry about we're going down a road and all of a sudden the road's closed. It's not that kind of a deal. It's going to go right on into eternity. Actually, anything man does not change God's plan. Man cannot change God's plan. Neither can the devil. God's plan will not be changed. When he says that there's going to be a time in the future when he comes for his church, there's going to be a time in the future he comes for his church. When he said there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period, where he's going to deal with the world and also with the nation of Israel, that's what he means. It's going to take place. Man can't stop it. It'll be exactly in the time that God said it's going to be. Now, we would think, and we are to think, that it's not very far off. Apostle Paul thought it wasn't very far off. All the saints throughout history thought it wouldn't be long before Jesus comes. And we're supposed to be living in the fact it will not be long before Jesus comes, because that time will come. Just like the time of the cross, the time that Jesus Christ was sacrificed on it, that time came. And it has come. And the same way, everything else God says in His Word is going to come. So what we have to do, what we have to base our life on the permanent things of God in a temporary world. Now I want to say that again. We have to base our life on the permanent things of God in a temporary world, because obviously all these things are going to be gone. There's a program on TV, I think it's called Clean Sweep, I think's the name of it, where they get a crew and they go into somebody's house and just clean it out. I mean, it's usually a house that's full of clutter and it's just a mess and people are not happy in it and they don't know what to do about it. So they'll get this team and they'll go in, they'll clean it all out. And they're not going in just to get rid of everything, but they're going in to organize things and get rid of what they can with the permission of the owners and so on. But there's going to be a time when every single thing of this life, in this life as we know it, except for you and I and the Lord, is going to be gone. And so what's that tell us? It tells us that we have a race to run, a life to live, and a certain amount of time to do it. And we have to do it in this temporary world, and then when that's complete, we'll be in the permanent world of God. His situation has never changed. It's the same God, same heaven, same everything before He ever created the earth. Is going to be the home that we're going to come to, because it has never changed. I guess you can put it this way. God has the same furniture in His house, and He's had it in there for probably 10,000 years. It doesn't wear out. It's the same thing. We're going to go, basically, if you want to put it this way, we're going to go to the home of God. He's been telling us that He has preparing a place for us. We're going to go to this home. It'll be completely different than where we live now, and we won't have the things we have now. We'll have something different, and it'll be a whole lot better, because everything that you see is temporary, and the things of God, as I said, are permanent. So what God wants us to do is to live on His foundation, His eternal foundation in a temporary world. Now, the Word of God is permanent. It'll never change. It'll be the same in heaven. John 3:16 will be the same when you're with the Lord as it is right now. The Bible is eternal. The Bible will be with us when we are with the Lord. This is the Word of God. It is permanent. That's why we need to be taking in permanent things in a temporary world to prepare for the permanent home of God. Now, that's our thing. People without Christ have no clue about that at all. They are blinded to it. They do not see it. And we can't really even expect them to until they come to Jesus Christ. Then their eyes are opened, and then they see this permanent world of God that they never saw before, because they have been living in a temporary world. Things wear out, things deteriorate, things fall apart, and so on. That's the way it is in this world that we can see. So let's go to remember faith, hope, and love. Those are permanent things, eternal things that we can have now that we'll have in eternity. There are a few things that you can have now that you'll have when you're with Jesus. The Word of God is one of them. Your spirit and soul is the other. Everything else will be new. Okay, so let's look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And I know we've all read this before, but we read these things and we really don't put an eternal perspective on them, which we should, because when Jesus are talking about these parables, he's talking about eternal things, basically. He's talking about temporary things, eternal things in a temporary world, correct? Okay, verse 24, chapter 7, Matthew. Therefore, whereupon hearing these sayings of mine and doing them, two things right there that are necessary in this life. Hearing the things of Jesus and doing the things of Jesus. It says so right there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Now, what house is he talking about? He's talking about the house of your spirit, the house of your soul, being built upon the rock, solid rock things of Jesus Christ in this temporary world. That's what he's talking about. Now, he said, there was a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Why was this man wise? Because he had gone to school? No. He was wise because he had heard the word of God and he was doing them. That's why this man was wise. He was wise because he is working toward eternal things in a temporary world. All right, verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, if you've watched the news lately, you saw those tornadoes hit western Tennessee and other areas and totally destroyed things in certain areas, and some people lost everything they had. Some people lost their lives. What that tells us, and what Jesus is saying here in verse 25, there's going to be rains, there's going to be tornadoes, there's going to be storms in this life. It's because it is attached to the temporary world. Now, the temporary world, the problems in it are caused by sin. Man sinned, Satan sinned, and caused all these storms and problems and all these things that are going on in this temporary world we're in. But we can go through these things if we stand on the foundations of God. They're designed to take us through. Why wouldn't they if they're eternal? A storm or 11 below temperature is not going to change eternal things. It's not going to change them. They don't change. And so God says, start taking in eternal things, and then the temporary things of this world won't affect you as much as they would otherwise. Now, he says, there are certain ways you can build things that will never be taken away from you. It's not like you make furniture or you make something else that's going to deteriorate. There are certain things you can do that you will take with you and will be with you forever. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about building your house on a rock, or we would say the rock. All right. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. It did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. Didn't fall. Now, I guarantee you that a lot of people in these storms have fallen. They've lost everything. They've fallen themselves. They're in desperate shape because they didn't build on a rock. I'm not saying it wouldn't be disturbing if a tornado destroyed our homes or something like that, but it would not affect the faith, hope, and love. It would not affect your eternal life. It would not affect anything in you that was eternal. All right. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not. In other words, it is possible to hear the word of God and not do it. You have to decide to do it. Keep that in mind. We do it because of faith, hope, and love. We'll be talking about that. Likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, obviously, if you build on sand and a storm comes, you're in big trouble. So if you build your life, if you build your life on things that are not eternal, when things come, which they will, you won't be able to stand. You will fall. Now, this is not talking about losing your salvation. This is talking about having salvation and what you build on it. Okay? Obviously, if you don't build on the Word of God, then you're not going to have anything to take with you when you go to be with the Lord. And, of course, we know that there's reasons for that. So, there's three building blocks in life. There's probably more, but there's three main ones. Jesus keeps talking about them. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. So we want to make sure that we have these three blocks in our life now, not only now, but also we will have them in eternity. Now, go to Hebrews 11:6, and I'm going to give you what the Bible says is the definition of faith. We're going to talk about faith first, and the first one. Faith is the first one. Faith is what everything else is built on, so you have to have faith. So let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and we've seen this before, but it is extremely important. I don't think we take it seriously, and we need to. We need to circle this scripture, underline it, and whatever. It says very simply this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I want to please God now. Not only eternity, I want to please God now. And it says right here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means it's extremely important. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, meaning the Lord. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In other words, we have to realize what I've been saying all this time this morning, that Jesus Christ is the rock, He's the foundation, He will never change. But another thing we are to believe, we to believe that He is, we believe that He exists, we believe that He'll always be, He's always going to be there for us. Through every situation in this life and the next, He's always going to be there. Nobody else may be, but He's going to be. And then it says, you have to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You have to believe there is a reason to do things in this life, because there's going to be a response from God in the next life. We've been studying on Sunday night of the book of Philippians, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, said he never worried about where he was. He didn't worry about if he's in jail. He didn't worry about if he was out of jail. He didn't worry about if he had plenty. He didn't worry about if he had little. But one thing he was concerned about was that he pressed for the prize of the high calling. He pressed towards the prize. He knew there was a prize. He knew there was something to strive for. We'll get it in the next life, some in this life, most of it in the next life. He said, I know that God is going to reward me when I do what he wants me to do in this life, when I listen to the word of God and do it. Now, that's what Paul said. That's what he's saying to us. Somebody says, what is the point of trying to live a good life when everybody around us doesn't live the good life? They seem to be enjoying everything. The issue is what they're going to get in eternity and what we're going to get in eternity. And we say eternity, we think about 100 years from now when it may be 2 months from now. So it's not a deal where we're thinking about, oh man, we got all kinds of time. This is no problem. Eternity is always going to be there. Jesus might come back in the next 1,000 years. No, he may come tomorrow. And the issue is, it's probably soon. And it's so soon that Christians are trying to figure out which one of these these presidential candidates is going to be the Antichrist. I don't know if any of them are, but the issue is they're talking about that. They really are. And the reason they're talking about it, whether it's right or wrong, I'm just saying, they're looking, they know that there's a time coming, when, and it's not far, when the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. Well, if you understand the Bible, you understand that we're going to be taken out before the Antichrist is revealed. So therefore, it's probably not very far. So this eternal prize, judgment, etc., it could be very soon. So the issue is we're not talking about way down the road. For most of us, who knows? Could be within our lifetime. So therefore, we have a prize to shoot for. We have something to run the race for. Paul's always talking about in Philippians, he's running the race to win the prize. He's not in there just to be running for exercise. He's running to gain the prize. We should be running to gain the prize in whatever God has called us to do now. God's called everybody. He hasn't called everybody to do the same thing, other than the basic foundational things that I'm teaching now. Everybody's to do these. Not everybody has the same calling. Apostle Paul was called to go start churches all over the known world at that time. I haven't been called to that. He was. He was doing what he was called to do. He was also to teach us, and that's what he's doing. But I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Nobody seems to really know. I suppose it's not important who wrote it. It came from God. But the issue is that we have a prize. We are not, every single day we have 18 hours a day, if you sleep for 8, rather, 16, and if you sleep for 8. And so we got 16 hours a day to run the race that Jesus Christ has called us to. Now that's it. And that's the way we are to live. You say, oh, this life is just boring. It's not, if you understand, we had 16 hours today, approximately, to run this race of Jesus Christ in the place and in the circumstances that God has you in, if you're in the right place and you've been following him and you've been listening to the word of God. So the definition of faith is, without faith it's impossible to please him, for one. The definition is that he that comes to God, he that becomes a Christian, he that receives Jesus Christ, must believe, it says must believe, not might believe, could believe, maybe believe, it says must believe that he is, God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul said, I'm shooting for rewards. I'm not down here just kind of floundering around. I'm shooting for rewards. That's what he said. Now, where this isn't necessarily a study on rewards, but the issue is, this is faith. Knowing God, hearing his word, doing it, and having a purpose to receive rewards. God wants his kids to get rewards. I want my kids to get rewards. I want my kids to run a race. I want them to get every reward they can get. I want them to be as prosperous as they can be in this life, and I want them to be extremely prosperous in the next one. I want them to have every possible reward that it's possible for them to get in the circumstances they're in the power of God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, we ought to be praying that for our kids or grandkids or nieces, nephews, etc., because we want them to come to God and get in the race. There's competition. In a sense, we're not competing against somebody else. We're competing against the call of God in our life. When I used to run, you were competing against somebody else. We're not competing against anybody else. We're competing to get this done before Jesus comes. That's what we're competing for. Now, one of the things I said we are to do, and this would be by faith. By faith, we're going to take a piece of paper and we're going to put down on that piece of paper everybody in our family that doesn't know the Lord, or our friends that do not know the Lord, and we're going to put them on there by faith and pray that the blinders will be taken off and they will come to God and they will get in the race. That's part of this race, is to get as many in as you can. I've heard missionaries that have had dreams, and I believe this, that they went across, usually they're crossing some river, and Jesus is on the other side, and they get over there, and Jesus says, "Why didn't you bring anybody with you?" And sent them back. I'm talking about in the dream. But I've heard more than one missionary said they had that dream. And so the issue is that we're not going to, as you want to put it, hit the other shore where Jesus is, whatever you want to call it, and not bring anyone with you. That's part of the race. That's part of the rewards. And you get rewards. It's kind of like a multi-level marketing, if you've ever been in it. And it works this way. You lead somebody to Christ. If they lead somebody to Christ, you get a part of that. If that person leads somebody to Christ, you get a part of that. You get rewards down so many levels, if I can put it that way. That is exactly the way it works. I kid you not. That's where they got multi-level marketing from the Bible, in my opinion. But so the issue is, you lead somebody to the Lord, they might lead 1,000 people to the Lord. Hallelujah, I get that to my account. Paul said, that's why I do what I do. I go out and start churches, I lead people to Jesus, I put a bunch of people in charge, and when they lead some more to Christ, I get part of that. Are you listening to me? And that's the issue. That's the way it works. We are in this thing. We lead our kids to the Lord. They lead their kids to the Lord. They lead their kids to the Lord. Then you get part of that in your rewards. It's part of the reward system. God said, not only believe that I am, believe that I give rewards to those. See, that's what he said. That's what faith is. That's the way we're to live our life. We're to live our life believing what the Word of God says, and that's why we're so much different than people without Christ, because they're hanging on to everything that's temporary with both hands, white knuckles, not wanting to let it go, and that is not our issue. Our issue is hanging on to permanent, eternal, spiritual things. If that makes sense to you, say amen. Amen. You see, that's what we are to put our minds to. That is what, it doesn't mean we don't do a earthly job. It doesn't mean we don't take care of our families. It doesn't mean we don't brush our teeth in the morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the process of living on this earth, what Christ understands, because he came and did it. I like that part. God understands everything about our life because he came down here and lived it. Are you listening to me? Except for the marriage, and he's going to be married a little later to you and I, you see. He's even going to experience marriage because he's going to be married to you and I. And so he's experiencing everything. And besides that, he knows everything. So that's the issue. Is this making sense to you? This is the way this. Now, the problem in the church has been, I say church in general, not every church. Churches overseas understand this better than we do. A lot of reasons is they don't have much, so they don't have to worry about it. But the issue is, it's a little harder in America. But America has this idea, well, you come to church on Sunday, you sit down, you go through the routine, you give your money, and then that's all there is, and you go home, and you live your own life, however you want to live it, and you come back Sunday, and you conform to whatever's going on in church, and then you go out again, and you conform to the world, and that is exactly not what we are supposed to be doing, and you won't do if you have faith. Now, that's the definition of faith, is believing in someone and what that someone has promised to do. Believing in someone and believing that what that someone has said he's going to do. It's believing in Jesus Christ and believing his promises and what he says. I'm talking about basic foundations of the Christian life. Now, also, faith always has to have an object. It has to have a person or thing that you have faith in. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead on the third day, and ascended into heaven and said, I'm coming again. You see, that's where our faith is. That's the object of our faith. Not what we can do necessarily, but what he did and what he said he's going to do. Now, if we focus on that, then we have faith to go through anything and everything in this life. Can I explain why tornadoes hit in a certain place? Can I explain why certain people die and others don't? Can I explain why roughly 60 people died in those tornadoes and a baby was thrown 100 yards and lived? Can I explain that? I cannot explain it. Other than maybe prayer, maybe some other things, maybe probably faith that people have, but sometimes good people are taken in those things. Can I explain it? No. God knows all those things. I don't have to know those things. I just have to know what the Bible says and stand on that. Now, it says he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Now, I want you to look in James 2:19. But always keep this Hebrews 11:6. We probably ought to read it once a week so we understand that we're in a temporary world, but we are eternal people. And we become that when we become a Christian. Look in James chapter 2 and verse 19, very next book. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Okay. This is the next part of this we have to understand. This is very important. Now look at this. I get a kick out of this one. You believe that there is one God. Oh, you're doing wonderful. The demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So what this says is, you don't really have faith unless you believe in God and do what he says. Demons believe in God. The devil believes in God, but they don't do what he says. And God says, that's not faith. That's not faith. I feel bad for people who say that all their life, say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I believe God. But you see no evidence of it whatsoever. I would say, join the demons in hell. And I'm not being smart. I'm just saying, it says very simply, somebody's always saying, oh, yes, I believe in God. But they never read their Bible, they never go to church, they never do anything the Bible says. Do they believe God? I doubt it. They believe there is a God. They're believing in the fact that God exists, not that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do I hear an amen? Now, I know those are strong words, but I'm saying this is the truth. There's always somebody around, I believe in God. Well, wonderful. Let's see the works. Okay? Now, it's not for me to tell them the works to do other than the basic things I'm teaching you right now, but don't be deceived by that kind of stuff. You might even say to them, you mean you believe there is a God or you believe God is for you? I mean, which is it? If he's for you, then you'll be doing the things of God. I mean, sometimes you just have to pin people down. And if they just say, well, I'm a Christian, but you don't see any results of it, then put them on that lost list that we've been making. Put them on there. I wouldn't let that faze me. I think people just tell you that stuff sometimes just to get you to shut up. They say, well, I'm a Christian. I did this 20 years ago. I had this experience. Well, what are you doing now? You see? That thing 20 years ago doesn't mean anything if you're not following through with it now. I'm sorry. That's the way it is, and I want you to know it and tell somebody before they die and go to hell. You see? This is serious business. This is not kindergarten. This is graduation time, you see. And that's what we have to tell them. You know, I hope you're getting this, because I said when people quit getting what I preach, then I'm going to quit. Because I want you to get this. There's no point in me talking if you're not getting it. How many feel like they're getting this? And how many feel like it's going to make a difference in your life and somebody else? You see, that's the issue. We have to get down to the basic. You got to get down to the rock. You have to have a clean sweep to get down to where it is and see it clearly so you can stand on it the rest of your life and run the race. Do I hear an amen? All right, now. We're just getting started with this because this is important. Now, the issue really comes down to this. Do we believe that God can do what he says in his word? I've heard these people, you even hear this, I mean, you hear this all the time, Bible scholars and everything else. Well, you know, Jesus did all that stuff, and yes, the Apostle Paul did all that stuff that the Bible says, but when they died, that was it. God doesn't do that stuff anymore. Well, if that's true, the Word of God is not eternal. If that's true. And I'm here to tell you it's not true. The Word, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking about what are we putting our faith in? Something that was true and now it's not true and maybe it's going to be true when we die, or something that was true back in the time of the apostles, it's true now and it's going to be true in eternity in the name of Jesus. It'll never change. That's what faith is. That's faith. And that's what we want people to know. Now, do we believe God can do what he says? That's the issue. Now, I'm going to give you some things that we are to put in the Bible, that we are to put our faith in. I'm just going to give you about four of them here real quick, and then we'll give it up here today. But, okay, look in John 2:11. We're going to look at some scriptures real quick. John 2:11. Man, the Word's getting hot on a cold day. Hallelujah. John 2:11. John 2:11. What are we going to put our faith in? This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. If you want to know when the miracles started, and the miracles that we're talking about, New Testament miracles, they started in Cana of Galilee. Jesus didn't do miracles before Cana of Galilee, in the sense that we're talking here, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. In other words, they believed he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Look in Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Okay, Mark 11:22, and this says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." Not yourself, not somebody else, not anything else, have faith in God. That's the beginning of everything. That's the beginning of it all as far as eternity is concerned. All right? There he said, right there. Have faith in God. Now, we could go on, but I'm not going to read the rest of that. Real quick, Romans 3:25. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. This is extremely important as far as faith is concerned. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or sacrifice through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, or the taking away or removing of sins through the forbearance of God. We have to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and the blood that was shed that took our sins away so that we can come into the presence of God. That's an eternal thing. The blood of Jesus Christ is eternal, not temporary, because he took it into the eternal heaven and put it on the mercy seat in the temple of God. It will always be there. It's eternal. Okay, and then Colossians 2:12. Colossians, right after Philippians. Colossians 2:12. And this says here, extremely important, Colossians 2:12. You have to believe in this and live like it. buried with him, Jesus Christ. Well, I could put it this way. We are buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. We have to understand that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And we also have to understand, therefore he ascended into heaven. Therefore he ascended into eternal permanent places. And the Bible says, through the baptism by the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are identified with it. When God looks at us, he looks at us as died with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, and ascending with Christ into the eternal heavens forever. This is what our faith is based on. Not believing that there's a God. Not joining the church. Not being baptized. And water baptism is a picture of that verse. It is not that verse. It's a picture of that verse. But it does have its purposes also. But it's not salvation. It's because of salvation we are baptized into the works of God. Now, because of these scriptures, we're not going to put our faith in our money. We're not going to put our faith in our career. We're not going to put our faith in our marriage. We're not going to put our faith in medicine. We're not going to put our faith in our abilities. We're going to put our faith in what Jesus did and then God did for us through Christ with him, and we will be then with him forever. That is what our object of our faith is. And you receive that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Any questions? Let's stand before the Lord.